What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for kicking off your week with us. This is your Monday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. This is a Sports Ethos presentation, and I am your host, Joe Orrico. You guys can hit me up over on Twitter, at JoeOrrico99, and also at EthosFantasyBB. Those are the two accounts where we post all of our baseball and fantasy baseball content, and we'll continue to be doing that throughout the offseason. This podcast will go every day throughout the offseason. It may be hard. Some days we're going to have to maybe veer off of the fantasy vein and go into some more baseball stuff, some betting stuff. We'll always be talking baseball here. It just may not always be fantasy, but that's something I do want to remind you guys of. We will be going throughout the entire offseason. A lot of podcasts kind of simmer down during the offseason. They do a show here and there, maybe. Some of them take the whole offseason off, which is totally cool. Everybody's got their different styles. We will be going throughout the entire offseason, so really important that you guys are subscribing, downloading, doing all that stuff so that you continue to get those shows, even when you might not think to look for them, because a lot of people don't during the offseason. They're not really thinking about baseball most of the time. They're more into football or basketball or hockey or those fall sports, which is totally understandable. They're work, school. But if you're ever feeling a craving for baseball one day, there will be pods every single weekday. There will continue to be articles throughout the offseason. And we are bringing on more people here at Sports Ethos. Before I really get started today, I'll rhyme that one off one more time. If you're looking to get into the fantasy industry, into the sports industry in general, start writing, podcasting, doing something in the sports realm, send me a DM at JoeOrrico99 or at Dan Bespris. Those are the two accounts where you guys should be reaching out to if you're interested in maybe covering a team, writing some fantasy articles. Maybe you're just interested in writing about the sport in general and, you know, staying away from fantasy. Maybe you just want to write a weekly piece on whatever, you know, reach out to me. We have a lot of openings. We're still kind of forming our baseball division. If there's something that you guys are interested in doing, there's a decent chance that if you're committed enough, we'll have a position here for you. So just something to keep in mind here as we enter into the off season, into the down season for baseball. But we are going to talk about some actual stuff today. But I think it is important to say that a lot of seasons ended yesterday. Now, my home league championship was yesterday. I won my home league for the first time. It came down to literally the last game of the night. I had Nestor Cortes and Brian Bayo both starting yesterday, and I was able to win my home league. Very happy about that. It's not like it's a massive grand prize or whatever. It's a couple hundred bucks, but it's just that you get to have those bragging rights over your friends. The entire offseason, those guys are not going to hear. They're not going to hear the end of it for me, for sure. Especially the way it ended. I ended up taking it 6-3, but I won ERA by 0.14. I won strikeouts by literally one strikeout. I won batting average by 1 point, 246 to 245. This was a very close race. I hope you guys had similar kind of close races, because whenever there's 8-2, 9-1, 10-0 kind of weeks, you kind of see them coming down the line. It makes the whole thing not as enjoyable. And if your season ends on that kind of note, you might just take the year off from fantasy next year, understandably so. But we are going to be talking about some of the things that led to championships last week. I'm going to be going through a little bit different today. We're not going to be going through yesterday's top players. I'm going to look at the top players over the past week and see who was contributing to your championships. Are these guys, you know, just on hot streaks? Are these legitimate good players? There's a bit of a mixed bag here. Some of them might surprise you who are in the top 10. A couple of names that are going to be fairly obvious there. But we're going to just talk about, are these guys, can you expect this kind of production going forward, essentially, is where I'm going to be trying to lean with this. Also, just, you know, praising these guys for winning those championships. But we are going to talk about their viability going forward as well. So the first player, the number one player over this last week, who was a mainstay on a couple of my teams the whole season, mostly points leagues, but I kept him in a couple of category leagues, Stephen Kwan. Stephen Kwan was the number one ranked player according to Yahoo's ranking system, and when you look at his numbers, it's hard to argue with it. He was the number one ranked player last week in category leagues. 9 runs scored, 2 home runs, 10 RBIs, 4 stolen bases, and a .438 batting average for the week. He was 14 for 32. If you just look at yesterday, Championship Sunday, the Super Bowl Sunday of fantasy baseball, he was 3 for 5, 2 runs, a grand slam, and he also drove in a 5th run in there, and he stole 2 bases for you. Unreal production from Stephen Kwan. Really, the whole season, we have to kind of just pat him on the back. A lot of people, myself included, didn't really think he'd be able to hold fantasy value for most of the season, but, I mean, don't look now. He finished with a higher ranking than Luis Arraez, and I know Paul Sporer will be very happy about that, because those are two guys that when he was on the show before here, I guess it would have been July, we're talking about how those guys are pretty similar, and Arraez just had maybe, you know, 85th, 90th percentile season, where Stephen Kwan was probably at that point, like, you know, 50th, 60th, 70th percentile. It was going well. he didn't really have many supporting stats to back up that high batting average. But what he's done over the course of the whole season, very serviceable. 78th ranked fantasy player. 84 runs, 6 homers, 49 RBIs, 19 steals, and a .298 batting average. And between you and me, I'm hoping that he gets it up to 300. I think that would be really nice for him. 20 steals would also be really nice. But this was just fantastic from Stephen Kwan for somebody who was, I mean, likely picked up and dropped a little bit in your league. If it's a deeper league, draft and hold, obviously a little bit different. If you got him late in the draft and hold, you're probably very happy. But even if you just picked him up off the waiver wire, this kind of production for most of the season, really, up and down a little bit, but pretty solid baseline of batting average with the steals really turning it on in the second half too, which is great for, especially for head-to-head. You'd love to see that kind of thing. I talked about this a little bit last week with Stephen Kwan about where are we going to be drafting him. And in my eyes, I mean, when I was saying this, it was before he had really gone crazy this last week with home runs and steals. Thinking that Luis Arraez is probably going to be drafted a little bit higher, and maybe rightfully so because of the position eligibility. But Stephen Kwan does very similar stuff to what Luis Arraez does. If you're just going to compare what both of them did this season, I mean, I know there's still a few games left here, but in terms of the fantasy season, looking at a very, very similar stat line, and it's hard to really say. I mean, team-dependent, you might pick one, you might pick the other, but I think Stephen Kwan probably had the better season. 84 runs for Kwan, one more than Arraez had at 83. Kwan has 6 homers, Arraez has 8. 49 RBIs for Kwan and 48 for Arraez. Same thing. Those stats are all pretty much the same thing. Batting average. We'll skip over steals for now. Batting average, .298 for Kwan, .313 for Arraez. That's not that big of a difference. 15 points in batting average, it's really not that big of a deal. The big discrepancy between the two of them here is the 19 steals for Kwan and only the 4 for Arraez. So I think Luis Arraez will probably be drafted a little bit higher next season. I don't think it'll be crazy high, but I think based on the eligibility and, you know, the high batting average all season, people, even in their heads, if you just asked, you know, if you took a random sampling of 100 fantasy players and you said, who was a better fantasy player this season? Was it Kwan or was it Luis Arraez? Most of them are going to say it was Luis Arraez. Just because most of the season he was a little bit more flashy. He was the batting average leader for a while. But Stephen Kwan actually had at least as good, probably a bit of a better season, especially with those steals. So if you are looking to draft Arraez next season, and I would be looking to draft him at the right price. I don't think there's any reason to not go for that kind of production. Good batting average, spattering of little stats here and there. He's a very serviceable fantasy player. If you miss out on him, then Stephen Kwan is a really decent guy to look at probably a couple rounds later. The downside with Stephen Kwan compared to Arraez is that he doesn't have the eligibility throughout the infield. Arraez, first, second, and third to go along with outfield, that's fantastic. Like in terms of eligibility, that's really about as good as you're going to get. That's something that Kwan cannot do for you, only in the outfield. But in terms of the actual stats he's giving you, pretty damn similar production. So keep that in mind next season if Arraez is coming up and he gets sniped. Kwan is very similar production, probably even a little bit better, and probably will be even a little bit cheaper. But I do want to move on here and talk about Pete Alonso, because Pete Alonso had himself a hell of a week as well. 9 runs scored, 4 homers, 13 RBIs, 1 steal, and a .333 batting average. Now, the steals didn't come that often this season. He only had 5 of them. Not that you were really expecting it. But to get one during championship week, and over the last 2 weeks, there's been 2 of them. I mean, if you go back over 2 weeks, he is the number one ranked player. But over this last week, he was just behind Kwan. For the season, Pete Alonso, 39 home runs, 128 RBIs, which, if I believe I heard that correctly yesterday, that is a Mets franchise record for RBIs, 128. And don't look now, but I keep mixing up with Stephen Kwan. We're on to Pete Alonso. I need to switch my brain now. The 6th ranked player for the entire season. That is ridiculous. That's really, like, I knew he was having a good season, Pete Alonso. I don't have any shares of Pete Alonso, so he's not somebody that I was following as closely as I would have been a couple of other players that I had a lot of shares of. Even his teammate, Francisco Lindor, who I was following very closely. I knew Alonso was doing well, but to be the 6th ranked fantasy player with 5 stolen bases is incredibly, incredibly impressive. You're looking at the guys who are around him. I mean, first of all, it's Judge, Goldschmidt, Freeman, Verlander, and Trey Turner. Those are the guys ahead of him. And then right behind him, Machado, Jose Ramirez, Mookie Betts, Francisco Lindor, Yordan Alvarez. Like, this was an elite, elite season from Pete Alonso, and I don't think it's fallen under the radar, but I don't think that we really are viewing him as a guy who puts up these kind of numbers. I think we're still seeing him as more of a power-only guy and somebody who is maybe, you know, a 30, 40 ranked player, when in reality, he was truly one of the best players all season. And I know RBIs can fluctuate. You can't really you know, I forget the word now. I forget the word that people use anyway, but they're not really consistent year to year. You can, like, last year he drove in 94 runs. This year it was 128. This year Judge has driven in whatever it is, 150 runs. It's not 150, but it's pretty damn close. Next year it probably won't be anywhere near that number. It's very hard to predict those on a year-to-year basis. So all to say that I'm kind of surprised, really, that he was able to sneak up this high. I mean, the number one ranked player for 2 weeks, you're going to move up. But to six, like, that's I don't think he's going to be drafted this high, and I don't think he should be drafted this high. But he showed us, like, he is capable of performing at this level. So if you get into round three or four of your draft, maybe, and he's still there, I don't think he'll probably get that far. But maybe in a 12-teamer, you see him go into the third, into the mid-30s. I think that that's going to be, like, a serious, serious value for Pete Alonso. His ADP last season in the NFBC main events was 56.5. That's where he was going on average. He was the fourth first baseman off the board. You got to think next season he'll probably be around the fourth, third base, or first baseman off the board again, because Matt Olson was ahead of him as the third first baseman. He was going about 13 picks higher. But then you got Paul Goldschmidt, who is about 10 picks lower than Alonso. So the way I see this going most likely is that Goldschmidt and Olson will essentially flip, and it'll be Guerrero and Freeman probably still one and two. Maybe you see Alonso sneak in above them in a couple of drafts. I doubt it. I think it'll probably still be Vlad and Freeman. And then probably Goldschmidt, Alonso in that range there pretty close by, and then probably Matt Olson right after. But I think we'll see a flip-flop there. But in terms of the way that these guys rank, there'll be a flip-flop. But in terms of ADP, these are going to jump all over the place. Vlad's ADP was six. There's no way he's going at six in most drafts. Freddie Freeman, 21. I think he'll go a lot higher than that. Olson, 43. He should fall down a bit. But Pete Alonso at 56. I think there's a decent chance we see Pete Alonso slide into that, probably even higher than where Matt Olson is in the, like, probably in the 30s somewhere. Because I don't think people are going to be necessarily expecting a repeat of this. Like I said, the RBIs can really fluctuate. He doesn't steal that many bags. I mean, he's stolen two here in these last 2 weeks, which has been great for you head-to-head guys, anybody really. But I don't know that we can expect this kind of level necessarily from Pete Alonso. So I do like it. I know I'm kind of going through this with you guys. I haven't so much done my next season projections. I'm kind of just figuring it out as we go along here. And I think with Pete Alonso, he's probably going to be drafted a little bit too high. I think he should be drafted higher than 56. But if he's going in that third round range, I think that that's going to be pretty sweet. If it's like late 30s kind of draft pick, maybe early 40s if we're lucky, that's where I'd be looking to grab Pete Alonso. Earlier than that, I think we might be getting ourselves in a little bit of trouble. The power's there. The runs and the RBI should be there, but you can't predict them year to year. The average is good. The average for a power hitter is very good, like 260, 270 range, but that's also another thing that can fluctuate, really. And like I said, the steals, we don't really know if they're going to be there. They're not going to be there in any big bunches. You might get five, six, or whatever. But Pete Alonso, I feel pretty comfortable in round three, essentially. But what he did this year was he won you championships. He won you a lot of championships. I wonder how many people had Pete Alonso and Stephen Kwan both on their teams. I don't think it would probably be that many people, but who knows? Who knows? I wonder if you guys did have that situation, do reach out, because I think that that would be pretty cool. But don't think it'll be too many guys. I do want to move on here now to another member of the New York Mets, Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer was brilliant this week. Two six-inning starts. No runs allowed against Milwaukee in the first one, nine strikeouts in the victory. The second one, it was six innings, one run ball against Oakland, seven strikeouts. Also got a victory there. For the season, in 139 innings, he is the 19th ranked player. Brilliant stuff from Max Scherzer again. And I got to eat my words because I didn't think that he would do it another season. And I'm kind of at the point over this season seeing what Verlander and Scherzer and Kershaw has done. And, you know, even DeGrom's not that young. When these studs go out there in this particular group era of studs, you just kind of have to trust them. When they say that they're good to go, I think we have to take them at their word. If Scherzer comes out next season and says, "Yep, I'm good to go," another season we're going strong here, then you have to take a chance on him. Like, he is still going to be that kind of elite pitcher. Where will he be drafted necessarily? It's a tricky one. If I'm going to take a look at last season at ADPs, he was going 15th overall in main events. So he returned that value. I mean, 19th overall player here. I know it's Yahoo versus NFBC. It's a little bit different, but I mean, at the end of the day, we're still talking about standard categories, mostly roto versus head-to-head is the only real difference there. But 15 versus 19 versus 13 versus 12. If you're going to return within the same round of value, you're going to be pretty happy with that pick. But Max Scherzer at 15, I think that's a little high. I think for me that would be probably a little high. Even though I think he'll still do it, there is a part of me that's like, well, Max Scherzer is, and I think he's 38, 39. I can't remember exactly now. 38 years old. He's 38 years old. I don't know how much longer we're going to see this necessarily. So I'll trust him if he goes out there. At least, you know, the start of the season, if he's healthy, he's going to be producing. That's not really in question for me. It's a matter of how long can the body really hold up. We saw a couple of injury problems this season. He's only thrown 139 innings, which for him is pretty low. I don't think I'd take him and pick 15. If you're in a 15-team league and he's your first-round pick next year, that would be troubling for me. I wouldn't want to have that. I think in the second round, even the second round is a little bit worrisome, but I think the second, third kind of turn area, maybe late 20s, early 30s is probably where I'm going to be slotting in Max Scherzer next season. I think I'd be a little bit worried about going at 15, man. Like, maybe if you're in a 12-teamer, I wouldn't feel as bad about it, but, you know, you get a star bat at the end of the first round, and then you pick Scherzer as your ace in the second. I think that's okay. I would try and have a buffer of one pitcher ahead of Scherzer, whether it be whoever you want to say, Corbin Burns, Garrett Cole, or whoever, and then maybe you get lucky and you get Scherzer fall back to you in the third round or something like that. But I don't know if I'd want him to be my ace necessarily heading into next season, just because it's a little bit more wear and tear every year, and eventually there's going to be an injury that he just doesn't come back from, I think. So I hate to even forecast that kind of thing, but he's not young. He's been pitching a long time, and I trust him if he's healthy at the beginning of the season, but I just don't know how long we can necessarily expect that. So in the third round, I feel a lot better than I would in the first or second. But let's keep going here. Let's talk about Brian Reynolds. Brian Reynolds, from a lot of the season, very disappointing for a lot of fantasy managers, drafted pretty high up. But he really turned it around. Like, good for Brian Reynolds. Specifically, this last month, he's batting over 300, but in the last 2 weeks, he's batting 370. What he did for you in championship week was go 11 for 22, 7 runs, 3 homers, 6 RBIs, and a stolen base. And for the course of the season, he was just as good as he was last year, pretty much, like, without, like, just on the surface fantasy relevant stats here. We're not talking about advanced numbers, just what he did from a fantasy point of view. His personal production was about as good as it was last season. The average was down. The average was the only thing where really you could point at and say, this was a bit disappointing. He batted 266, last year was 302. But him having 30 less RBIs and 23 less runs is very much indicative of the fact that the Pirates have a skeleton crew. They're a shitful offense. Like, there's nothing going on there. You cannot blame Reynolds for not driving in runners who aren't on base. You can't blame him for not scoring runs because there's no one to drive him in. He had more home runs than last season, more stolen bases than last season, and the average is lower. So for me, that's a pretty even trade-off. A couple more homers, a couple more steals. The average might outweigh that because it's like 35 points lower. So maybe it's a slight disappointment for Brian Reynolds. But we've classified it the whole year as a dud season. He wasn't having fantasy value. Earlier in the year, we saw some teams drop him. I mean, very, very early on. At this point, it wouldn't have been the case where he's on any waiver wires. But he was somebody who was kind of, you know, thrown away earlier in the season, discarded as being a bust when he really wasn't. So Brian Reynolds is someone I'd still be interested in for next season. Not too interested in, because you're going to see this kind of shit with counting stats continue, I think, as long as he's in Pittsburgh. Assuming he's still in Pittsburgh, I think he will be. Then it might be a little tricky to reach so high up for him. But I think if you're talking around pick 100, I think that would be probably where I'd be interested in taking him. He can still give you some home runs, decent home runs. I mean, 24 last season, 26 this year. You'll take it. The steals, you'd like to be a little bit more for an outfielder. Only 5 last season, 7 this year, which is a little bit better. Hopefully 10 next season and a 270, 280 average. I think probably around pick 100 is where I'm going to be roughly jotting in Brian Reynolds next season. Maybe probably a little bit higher, but I wouldn't expect him to go like well beyond that. I'm kind of curious actually where he was going this season. While I got the NFBC page open, I might as well check it out. This year in main events, he was 96. His ADP was 96. I'm surprised it wasn't a little bit higher, actually, based off of last season. I think it'll probably be about the same, though, about 96. I think that totally makes sense. But let's move on here and talk about our next guy from last week who won you your league, and that was Gleyber Torres. 3 home runs, 8 RBIs, 6 runs scored, 1 stolen base, and a .400 batting average. Now, I dropped Gleyber in a couple of leagues. I don't know, when it would have been a month ago or so. He was on a lull, and I thought, the Yankees are really struggling. I don't want to deal with any Yankee hitters right now other than Aaron Judge. It turns out Gleyber Torres, right when I dropped him, you guys are welcome, because he was just fantastic. over the last month, 6 homers, 4 steals, 20 RBIs and 15 runs. He's been a top 40 player over the last month, 275 batting average in that time too. And I think it's really important to look at last season with Glaber. Last season was awful. I mean, I went to some Blue Jays Yankees games last year when Glaber would come up to the plate. You know, that'd be the time when you go to the bathroom. That'd be the time when, if you really need to, you go grab a beer or you check your phone. Because it was Glaber last season was brutal. 9 home runs. He batted 259, which is higher than this season, but he only scored 50 of them. It was a pretty full year, 459 at-bats. He just didn't produce. He was just not good. This year, he upped his runs by more than 20. He hit 15 more home runs than last season and drove in almost 20 more runs. And he stole 4 less bases. Last year was 14 steals. This year was 10. That kind of thing, in this case, does not really matter because of the massive boost everywhere else. 8 points lower in batting average is not really that big of a deal. I'm not really going to care about it so much. Gleyber Torres, for this season, for a good chunk of it, was a great fantasy asset. He was drafted around pick 151 last season. Feels about right, I guess, for Gleyber. We don't really know year to year what we're going to see from him. There was a couple of years ago where I think it was like, 30 home runs that he hit. He had like a really big season, and then there was a couple where it was, I don't know, you couldn't really rely on the guy for a couple years there. It was the 38 home run season, and then the shortened year, which is 42 games, he had 3 home runs. Not great. And then last year, 127 games, 9 home runs. So is there some up and down in there? For sure. But in the past, you know, he's shown us 270-plus batting average. He's not going to steal you that many bases, but this is, it's not a bad number, you know, in that 10 to 15 range. It's pretty good. I mean, I shouldn't even say it's not that many. In this day and age, it's a lot still. So at pick 150, I think he's probably not going to be there. I think he'll probably go a little bit higher. Let's say 120, 130 roughly. I'd be pretty okay with Gleyber there considering middle infield and everything else. I think that that'll be pretty solid. The lowest pick, or the highest pick, I guess, this season for him, 114, the lowest 204. I think that even 114, you know, in that one, oh, well, let's call it between 110 and 130 range, where I would think Gleyber's probably going to be drafted next season. Let's talk about the next guy, though. Joey Meneses. This guy, absolute beauty. Like, he was everything you could have hoped for. He was a league winner. He was the definition of a league winner. I mean, all these guys we're talking about today is essentially like a league winner edition, talking about these guys who really performed well last week. But most of these guys are already on rosters. Most of these guys have been players who have been rostered for a good portion of the season anyway, 80s, 90s, and percent rostered. Then Joey Meneses comes along, and over the last, let's just go over the whole season first. 187 at-bats for him this season, 61 hits, which is a .326 batting average. 12 home runs, 29 RBIs, 29 runs scored, and he even stole a base, which he just happened to do during championship week. Joey Meneses is a great story. Like, Joey Meneses, as I believe he's 30 years old. Let me take a look here because I don't want to be saying it without having. I think, yeah, he was born in 1992. The guy is 30 years old. Came up this season for the first time, and he produces like this. It was a fantastic story. We'll remember it, especially if he won you leagues. You're going to be remembering this for quite a while, I would say. Joey Meneses winning you that championship. Now, the thing about him is that, like I said, the good story kind of works against him in a way. This is kind of a miracle season that you can't forecast going into next season again. Will he be on the team next year? It would be nice if he was, but I don't think they're going to guarantee a 30-year-old roster spot on a rebuilding team. I think that's a chance that he has a spot, even just as, you know, someone who's got a bit of a presence. He's been around the game a while longer than some of these younger dudes are going to have. Maybe he sticks around. I would think he gets a chance, but I don't think he's going to produce like this. I mean, .326 batting average. No one in baseball hits for that rate, really. It's pretty damn rare. When you're talking about 12 home runs and 187 at-bats, that's not going to happen, and that's just not going to continue. So I love what he did this season. I don't want to be seen as bashing him or anything. Like, I love what he did this season. He was fantastic in these last couple of months. But he's going to probably be drafted and by some people next year who will say, oh, yeah, Joey Meneses. And then it's just not going to work out because these things seldom do in this kind of situation, whether it be basketball, football, hockey. You know, last couple weeks of the season, the guy turns it on. So next year we draft him very high. It's just not something that I think that we can really necessarily rely on. I think we need to keep him in mind, maybe, if we get deep enough in drafts where you'd say, okay, I'll take a chance on him here. I would take a chance on him at pick God, I don't even know where exactly I would want to draft him. It would have to be mostly in deeper leagues. I think if you're talking about a draft and hold, 50 teamers or 50 rounds, he's going to be drafted in those formats, no question. But I would be careful about where you do it. I think I'd probably wait until the round pick 250, 300. I think that would probably make the most sense to me. If you're going any higher than that, I think that you should just probably let him go in that case, especially, 15-teamer. You might hear pick 200. It doesn't sound that deep, but that's like your 13th pick in a 15-team league, 13th, 14th pick. So I don't know if he's going to be worth that kind of value necessarily. We'll talk about Joey Meneses throughout the offseason a little bit here and there just to try and, see what's going on. We'll see how he does in the preseason leading up to next year. But I can almost guarantee you that the price for him is going to be higher than it should be. So just something to keep in mind. People will remember this performance, this streak. And they'll say, Joey Meneses, the guy can hit 300. He can, he extrapolate his home runs. He's going to hit 40 home runs and bat 325. It's like, he's not. I know most of you are probably already well aware of this, but if you're maybe a little bit newer to the fantasy game or whatever, and you just see this production and you think, well, he can carry it over into next season. There's no reason why he can't. It's a lot easier said than done. And we see it a lot with relief pitchers too. A lot of times relief pitchers will just have a really great season. And then you want to draft them next season as if it's still the previous year. Well, it's not something that typically happens, that kind of production carrying over year to year. And the same thing can be said about these older guys who get their cup of coffee, even if they produce really well. I'd be very cautious about Joey, but let's keep it going here with our 7th ranked player from last week, Manny Machado. The dude has kind of, almost flown under the radar a little bit recently in the National League in terms of, the MVP. Earlier in the season, he felt like kind of a lock for MVP. And then he fell off a bit. His production for the season, he's still the 7th ranked player, but I just don't think we've given him that same kind of attention because of what the guys in St. Louis were doing. And I don't know, maybe it's that Soto got into town and there was a Tatis news and he got kind of overshadowed a little bit. But whatever it was, Manny Machado, like I said, the 7th ranked player this season and the 7th ranked player this last week, that's consistency. 6 runs scored, 2 homers, 8 RBIs, 1 steal, and a .364 batting average. He went 8 for 22. For the season, Machado, 96 runs, 31 homers, 100 RBIs, 8 steals, and a .299 batting average. It's fantastic. There's not really too much you need to say about Manny Machado. He was drafted as a stud. He will be drafted as a stud again next season. He was going to pick 26th this season in NFBC drafts. You have to expect that would be even a little bit higher next year. He'll sneak into those top first 2 rounds. If you're talking the 12-teamer, probably in the pick, I don't know, I'd say probably around pick 20, we're going to see Manny Machado go next season, and I'd be totally fine with it. His fantasy game is sound. He's got, next year, he'll have Tatis. It'll be a month or so without Tatis, but then once you get him in that lineup, Juan Soto will have had more time to figure out his surroundings there, and there's no need to worry about Juan Soto. Like, we know this. It's going to be dangerous. That lineup is going to be seriously dangerous. Like, I don't even know how they would arrange that. Machado, I guess it would be probably, I don't know, Tatis 1, Soto 2, Machado 3? Or did you try and maybe put somebody else first and then have those guys go 2, 3, 4? You could have those guys go 3, 4, 5. I mean, there's a lot of fun possibilities. I kind of want to just crank up a game MLB The Show right now and just start messing around with lineups because there's a lot of possibilities there, and then who knows what they're going to do in terms of maybe they'll extend Soto, maybe they'll add other pieces. I don't know. It's going to be a lot of fun this offseason. But the San Diego Padres, they're a team to watch for next season. They're certainly a team where they have the pitching. They have enough pitching. They'll probably want to bring in another piece or two, and they have the hitting. So what's going to happen with them next year? I would say right now they're an early favorite for me for 2023 World Series. Josh Hader calms down, gets all the shit from this season behind him, and he'll be back to being Josh Hader. Tatis will be Tatis. Soto will be Soto. And guys like Machado will still be winning you your leagues next season. It's not something that I'm really too concerned about. There are some more volatile picks on this board that we're talking about. Gleyber Torres, he's a risky one a little bit. Steven Kwan, there's some risk there. He's good, but there's risk. Meneses, there's a hell of a lot of risk. But with Manny Machado, we have like an 8-10-year track record of success. We know that he's not being drafted too highly. Like, I don't think he'll be drafted in that range where he's producing this season. I don't think he'll be the 7th overall or 7th ADP guy next year. I think he'll probably be low teens or high teens, low 20s. And that would be something where I would be interested in drafting him for sure. Let's talk about Christian Javier, who I think, honestly, is one of the more underrated starters in baseball. And they got a couple of guys over there like this. I think Framber Valdez is in the same kind of boat. Although he's gotten some more attention, Framber, because of his quality start streak, which ended, unfortunately, the other night. But 25 straight quality starts. Jesus Christ. But Christian Javier, man, his last 17 innings over the last 2 weeks, zero earned runs allowed. Those last three starts for him, no earned runs, 22 strikeouts, two victories. Unbelievable. Just this last week, it was 11 innings pitched, two starts, one victory, 14 strikeouts, obviously a 0.00 ERA and a 0.55 whip. Christian Javier seems to always be the guy who is the odd man out whenever they need to put somebody in the bullpen. And, you know, there's somebody coming back, McCullers or whoever the hell it is. He's always seems to be the odd man out for whatever reason. And I can't for the life of me figure it out. He's really, really a lot better than the way he is treated over there. Even last season, he had a 3.55 ERA, a 1.18 whip, 130 strikeouts in 100 innings. And this season, his ADP was 313. Maybe I'm forgetting something from the preseason that would have knocked that ADP down a bit, but like it's free value right there. The guy's been the 40th ranked player for the season, 10 victories, 142 innings pitched, 187 strikeouts. He's striking out 45 more. Well, he's 45 more strikeouts than he does innings pitched. That is elite stuff. A 2.65 ERA and a 0.96 WHIP. The dude is exceptional. The dude is really, really exceptional, and I hope that people continue to disrespect him next season. I hope that we can still get him. Obviously, he's not going to be a pick 300, but if, you know, pick 100 or something like that, if he's going around pick 100, that's cash money. That's cash money on the table for you right there. Pitching for Houston, even if he sucked pitching for Houston, you know, I mean, Jose Urquidy, I don't think he sucks, but he's not great. He gets a lot of his value there, I think, from pitching for Houston. If you pitch for, you know, if Jose Urquidy was a member of the Athletics, or if he was a member of the Marlins, maybe, or, you know, pick some other team that doesn't do very well, the Athletics, the Nationals, the Tigers, any of those teams, we wouldn't give a shit about him. And it's a lot of it comes from the Astros. You have that Astros factor with, obviously, all those dudes. But then you get Javier, who's pitching to a 2.65 ERA, who's got nearly 200 strikeouts, a sub-1 whip, double-digit victories. He's remarkable. He is a remarkable pitcher. I really think that he is... I think you can make a good case that he's the most underrated pitcher in all of baseball. And if people continue to draft him as such, you know, if he's going past pick 100, I will have him in every single league. I will pick him in every single league. The Astros eventually will have to stop jerking him around and just leave him in the starting rotation consistently instead of, you know, oh, Christian, you know, we got someone coming back, blah, blah, blah. If someone's going to leave the rotation, it should be Urquidy. It should not be Christian Javier. That makes no sense. I don't think that they'll continue to do that in perpetuity because it's just... I don't think they can realistically. I mean, someone's gonna have to say eventually, guys, Christian probably shouldn't be in the bullpen. He's an elite pitcher, and I think that we're kind of coming around to that. Hopefully, the community stays behind because I'll be happy to invest in him again next season, especially if it's pick 100, 150, 200. Who knows? I doubt it'll be 200. It won't be 200. But this season, it should not have been where it was, which was 313. Let me just check because I'm going in on main events. Let me check all drafts. Let's see where he was going if you factor in everything. 321. Yeah, no difference. I don't understand it. Makes no sense to me. Let's talk about the next guy on our list, though, who has been my darling for all the entire season, Francisco Lindor. I love the dude. I drafted him fully expecting a first-round, second-round value-worthy season there. And that's what he did. So over this last week, he was 11 for 25, 440 batting average, excellent. 7 runs, 1 homer, 9 RBIs, all very good. Now, he didn't steal any bases this week, but you'll take it. He's still a top 10 player. For the season, he is currently the number 10th ranked player. That's, for where you drafted Lindor this season, you are over the moon with that. Francisco Lindor was probably, I didn't have too much time to lead into the season on this show. I believe our first episode was March 23rd. I got hired in February. Originally, I was doing basketball work, a little bit anyway, and then switched to baseball. And I didn't really have time to properly hype up dudes that I was big on going into the season. But those early shows, Francisco Lindor was one dude who I was really big on. And it was specifically because he was the 51st, or his ADP was 51, first of all. That's crazy. Last season, he was a first-round player. He had a poor season, his first year adjusting to the New York media, which, you know, will happen. And his poor season, by the way, was 20 homers, 10 steals, a 230 average, which is not great. But 73 runs, 63 RBIs, he was still fine. He wasn't great. He didn't return first-round value, but he's not so like somebody you were dropping or anything. He was still fine. This season, as the 10th-ranked player, Now, granted, a lot more at-bats. He's just about at 600 at-bats. He's usually batting in the three-hole, sometimes the two-hole there. He's close to 600. 95 runs, 25 homers, 103 RBIs, 16 steals, and a .275 batting average. It's elite stuff. It's elite production in an elite lineup for an elite team. So Francisco Lindor, next season, he's going to jump back up. He's not going to be going in at pick 50 again, 51 technically. Probably we're going to see him. I don't think he'll be a first rounder again because there's just a lot of guys who you could argue are first rounders. There's like 20 guys who you could make a decent case for probably, and we'll go through this throughout the offseason. This is what a lot of the offseason content will be focused on. We'll be looking ahead to next season. We'll be talking about drafts, sleepers, busts, and the rest of it. Lindor, I think, we'll massage this a little bit, but I think we're probably looking at late second round, mid to late second round in a 12, and usually when I'm saying those kind of things, the standard is 12-teamers. If I'm saying third round, fourth round, fifth round, whatever, typically I'm talking about 12-teamers unless I specify otherwise. And for me, with Lindor, I'm thinking that probably means around pick 20. I think 20 feels generally right there. Maybe we'll see him a little bit lower in some, a little bit higher. But I think his ADP is going to fall somewhere in that range, and I think I'd be fine with it. I really do. Even if he was your first batter on your team, maybe he's your second, whatever it is, he'll provide that production. Last season, he needed the time to adjust. New York sucks. We know that. No, it doesn't suck, but the media sucks. The New York media is awful. Like, you know, we even saw Judge earlier in the year getting booed by the Yankees fans because, whatever, he went over 3-1 game or something. Like, it can be, it's a toxic environment. It really can be. Obviously, it's not as bad with the Mets, but it's a very tough market. He got used to it. Kudos to him. He produced well above his ADP this season, finishing as the 10th ranked player, and next season, I don't think he'll be drafted quite that high. But you can kind of expect that same level of production here over the next few seasons. Specifically, well, you got Pete Alonso in his prime, you still got Marte producing, a lot of great role players producing over there, Nimmo and Canna, and well, I mean, who knows where they'll be playing next season. But as long as the Mets continue to spend money, which I'm not too worried about that with Steve Cohen, there should always be good pieces around Lindor while he's locked in for the rest of his career, essentially, here with the Mets. And I'd have no problem drafting him somewhere around round two. But let's keep it going with our next player. Only one more guy here. We're going to just finish off rounding out the top 10 today. We'll go back and look at these more later on. But I do want to do a couple other things today. Randy Arozarena. Man, he just went completely nuts this last month. He's the 5th ranked player over the last month, 10th over the last week. So we'll start with the last week. 10 for 24, 3 runs, a homer, 9 RBIs, and 2 steals. .417 batting average. When you look at the last month, and it seems like he's been stealing a base every single game. You know, it really, really has felt like that. Almost the same with the Judge homers. It's not obviously to the same degree. But you open up your phone most nights the last month, and it's been a Judge homer, and it's been an Arozarena steal. That last month, 15 runs, 3 homers, 22 RBIs, 9 steals, and a .340 batting average. For the season, 20 homers, 88 RBIs, 32 stolen bases, and a .273 batting average. Kind of interesting that his RBIs and his runs, I didn't notice this before, they kind of inverted from last season. So he had 69 runs this season and 69 RBIs last season. That's a confusing way to go about it. Let me say it this way. So this year, 69 runs. Last year, 94 runs. This year, 88 RBIs. Last year, 69 RBIs. They kind of just inverted, which is kind of weird. And the other stats stayed roughly the same, with the steals getting a decent bump here because this last month he's been crazy. But same amount of home runs, 20. The steals, last year we had 20. This year, 32. 32 steals for Randy Arozarena. You would not have expected that coming into the season, but you'll absolutely take it nonetheless. Randy Arozarena, it's kind of a hard guy to nail down, really. Like, that lineup is not so great around him there in Tampa, but they still do produce. He produces specifically. I mean, Wander Franco has been missing in action a lot of the season. He hasn't been there. When he's been there, he hasn't even been that great. But Randy Arozarena last season was going around pick 64. I just lost where I had the ranking. It just popped away. Randy Arozarena this season is number 26. He's the 26th ranked player for the year. 5th over the last month. Now, when you talk about next season, which is what I'm trying to do here with everybody, just get a general feel. It's too early to really say, this guy, he should be drafted here. Bullet point, done. It's kind of just, we're feeling it out. We're feeling it out a little bit. And with Randy, 64 last season, so we're talking 5th round of 15-teamers. I think we'll probably see him go in the top 50. I think that that's would make sense to me if he's going somewhere in the 40 range, the home runs and the steals. Really, he's providing production across all five categories. Those runs and RBIs are so they fluctuate so much. They're so volatile. Guy could drive in 121 year, and then the next year it's like 85, which is still good, but you're missing out on 40 RBIs. So it's something you really need to consider. Home runs generally stay about the same. Batting average stays generally close to the same. Steals will fluctuate a little bit here and there, but runs and RBIs, it's just not so much dependent on what the actual player is doing. It's about what the team is doing. And we've seen it with this year with Randy. I mean, both last 2 years, Tampa Bay has put together good teams. And this year, he's, for some reason, excelled a lot more in RBIs than he has with scoring runs. He's still batting top third of the order still. It shouldn't make that much of a difference where he's batting. It's kind of strange, but that just goes to show you the unpredictability of our game here. But Randy should be safe in fantasy value, even though he plays in a bad stadium, not the greatest lineup. Tampa always has a good team going on, whether it's the guys you expect to produce or whether it's guys this year like Paredes who just kind of go off. You know, Randy Diaz had a great year, Manuel Margot. They get production, and guys like Arozarena will be the centerpiece of that kind of thing with Wander Franco, assuming that he's all healthy and everything. But Arozarena should be a totally fine draft pick there. Somewhere, I would say, in roughly the 40-ish kind of ballpark, 40 to 50-ish range, I think we're cooking with gas there. I'm going to leave it there for today. We are going to continue to do this thing more often where we look back. It won't so much be week to week. We'll look back at the whole season. We'll look back at the second half heroes, guys who were great in the first half, kind of fell off a little bit. That's where the content will generally be these next couple of weeks. We'll mix in some playoff stuff. We'll bring on some betting people to talk about lines for the playoffs, and maybe you want to bet some futures for the World Series kind of thing next season, whatever. We'll have some of the sports ethos betting people and just betting people in general on to help us get through the playoffs. And then after that, we'll start to do some more projections. We'll do some more look backs, look forwards, sleepers, busts, all that sort of thing. If there's anything in particular you guys want to see on the show, I'm happy to take suggestions. If you guys have an idea for, I don't know, a specific concept, players you want to have dove into, send me a message at JoeOrico99 or even at EthosFantasyBB. Either would work fine. Actually, I'd kind of prefer you'd go at EthosFantasyBB for your follows if you guys haven't done so already. Messages, sure, DM, whoever, it doesn't really matter. But in specifically, if you guys should go follow EthosFantasyBB, we're still trying to build that one up. It hasn't grown as much as my own account this season, which I've kind of been disappointed with. I wanted it to get up there a little bit. We've got some new followers recently, but we're trying to get that one keep going up there. So EthosFantasyBB, you'd be my best friend if you guys go and hit the follow button over there, because we're going to have tons of stuff coming to you throughout the offseason. We will have projections. We will have rankings. We will have articles. We will have all of that stuff. And just a reminder, like I said off the top, we are bringing people on here. So if it's something that is interesting to you, writing about baseball, talking about baseball, whatever the case may be, reach out to me, send me a message. Send Dan Bespris a message. And maybe you already know Dan from basketball. You've already been going back and forth with him. You're more comfortable with him. Cool. Send Dan a message. Say you're interested. We got a lot of positions here with basketball, football, baseball, even hockey now. We are going to be starting. I'm not sure when it starts, but we have a Fantasy NHL Today podcast in the works. It will be coming out in the next couple of months. I'm not sure specifically on the date, but I'm pretty sure by the time the season kicks off, we'll be going, I think. And actually, we're pretty damn close to hockey now, so it should be getting going pretty soon. So please do go check out all that stuff. SportsEthos.com is the place where you can find literally all of the content. Twitter, of course, is great as well, at SportsEthos. But you get all of our stuff on the website, so please do go check it out. Hover over the premium tab. Give us a quick check over there if it's something that you would be interested in maybe supporting the company. This is the time of year when we sell our stuff. We keep the lights on all season long. There will not be promotions going on in a lot of shows. I usually won't even mention this kind of thing, except for this time of year, because we need to sell some premium packages. Helps us keep the website going for the other 11 months. I mean, I guess 10 months, really. These last couple months, we've been kind of kicking the fantasy passes into high gear, but there's a lot more than even just fantasy. It's a lot of fantasy stuff, but there's wagering, there's the draft guide, there's Aaron Brewski's 150, which will be coming out in the next couple weeks. I should get a specific date on that, and I'll have a specific date for you guys tomorrow, but please do go check it out on the website. All that is available there. Brewski is the best in the business for predicting basketball, fantasy basketball. You just have to go back and look at previous years of what he's done. Last year, Tyrese Halliburton, if you guys are fantasy NBA guys, he called Tyrese Halliburton having a breakout pretty early last season. You want to be on those breakouts this season for your fantasy needs. Sports Ethos is the best in the business for fantasy basketball, so please do go check it out. But that's enough of the promo and the rambling for me today, guys. I really do appreciate you guys checking us out. Continue to download, subscribe, rate, review, follow, do all that great stuff. And we will see you again tomorrow. Cheers, everybody.